podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Scoutcast. My name is Joe.
And my name is Andy.
Welcome, Andy. Once again, Seb can't be with us. Still on paternity leave. So many congratulations again to Seb and family. Andy, what is coming up in the show?
Yeah, so we're going to have a bit of a roundup of Game Week 6, which for some reason this week I'm really, really excited about. We're also going to go through our roughs with the smooths. We both got some this week. I think people are going to be very happy that Joe is bringing back his unfashionable picks this week as well. That was on request, I think.
It was. By at least one, maybe two people.
Yeah. So we've got to listen to the masses. My segment this week is going to be all about Alex's wildcard. So this is a week where so many people are going to be wildcarding. And Alex, obviously, we've got his team this year and we're going to be wildcarding his team this week. So I think that's going to be really good. We're going to be focusing on questions from the community based on wildcards. Yes. So I think it's going to be a really good segment, and then we're going to look at the next four fixtures, going to talk about our differentials, and then we're going to do our bust teams for this week because a lot of news is coming out every day at the moment. So they are just bust teams at the moment. Neither of us have made transfers, have we?
No, not indeed. So let's have a look at game week six. Andy, I've got here three words for your team. Sar, and Sakar. So tell us why you're happy about those three.
So basically, anybody in my team whose name started with SA did wonders for my team this week. So I was looking at it. I had Ronaldo as captain and straight away I thought, oh God, this is going to be a tough week now because, you know, everybody seemed to be struggling a little bit. Obviously, Ronaldo blanked, which wasn't great. And Saturday wasn't brilliant. But then Sunday rolled around. Saka did wonders for me against Spurs. I thought they would do well against Spurs. And obviously, he did very well with a goal and an assist. Saar did well on the Saturday, and then got an assist from goal. I was talking to Joe just before this, saying that I was listening on the radio and they said Saar took the kick and then Jimenez scored, and I was thinking, has anybody else touched it? And they didn't. So very, very happy. You know, so 65 and a massive green arrow.
You know when the last top flight Wolves goalkeeper assist was?
Oh, whoa. No.
2009, Wayne Hennessy.
Wayne Hennessy. Oh, you know what I was going to say? Ruddy, but yeah, okay.
11 years like ago. So now I'm not saying you're lucky to get his assist one every 11 years. But yeah, now I got it as well in Sky. Not FPL, but Sky.
We said this though, didn't we? We said this about Rudiger. It's every 2,000 minutes.
Yeah.
Sat, I got him in knowing it had been 11 years.
Yeah. How much is that in minutes? No, you teach maths.
I'll get back to you. Well, it's easy because it's just times 10 and add another one, isn't it? So. How many minutes do you get in a season?
I don't know.
No. 90 times 38.
I'm not very good at maths.
3,600, so it's 36,000. Yeah. About 39,000 minutes. There you go.
Yeah. 65 points. This is mega. Thanks to those two. But, the others. Yeah, this is Ronaldo, captaincy, blank, and still a mega score.
Yeah, no, I'm genuinely really happy. And actually, we were talking again before we came on saying, you know, I've finally gone above you this season after game week six, but it's about 4 points, isn't it?
Yeah, it's four points, but about 60,000 places.
Yeah.
And it's so tightly congested. I was talking to people on Twitter about it earlier, and it is just, I've never known it so congested, whereby, 4 points. So I took a hit this week, and that sent me down about 50K, but I got that 50K back because the hit paid me back and I got about, 5 points gain from that. But then I was brought down by, other players like Rafinha doing well and I didn't own. And it's just like that. But it's so, just these 4 or 5 points here and there, absolutely huge. So I think if you're anywhere really within somewhere of 400 points or so, you're probably doing okay.
I do agree. I think someone's mentioned in the chat, Kerem Trigg, saying, are ranks even useful at the moment? They're not really. I think you just got to be happy with your general setup of your team. And
Before the season, how delighted was I when I was told that our ranks and our arrow are going to be on the screen for the entirety of the scout card? I was absolutely delighted. I said, that's a brilliant move. I can't believe we haven't done that before. Why don't you just tattoo loser on my forehead while you're at it?
Well, it's weird that you're bringing this up the one week where you're below me, Joe.
Yeah, I think this is No, I can assure you, I brought that up before. And you'll also notice on the other videos I'm on, like Caps in Team News, no ranks on those. I managed to get those off, but yes. Shall we move on to my team? Let's be a really quick bit. Go on then. Yeah, so there's nothing worse when you're listening to a podcast or watching a video where everyone's done really well and you haven't done well, and it's just like, you think you smug gits. So luckily, I'm on hand this week to help.
Here he is.
Yeah, so this is my team, 45, but I took a hit. And a key difference is a bit of SAR. I got SAR, but I've had no SAR, and I had no SAR. So just the one SAR. Looking at that, obviously Antonio, very pleased with Ronaldo, captaincy blank. I got SAR and Armstrong in for Bamford and Traore. So I'm, once again, not good at maths, but I'm somewhere around 5 points better off through that.
Yeah,
I think. Livramento, I played over Cody. That didn't work out. I still think that's a good move because Wolves weren't looking great. And we were talking on air, there was that brilliant bit of commentary for the Southampton game. Armstrong to Livramento, and he misses. Oh. And it was so nearly the dream points.
Yeah, nearly.
Yeah, Christensen, Alexander-Arnold, you know, got me 1 point, but you know, I'm not going to belittle those players. Jota, points, Salah, usuals. Greenwood, he's becoming a problem, but more on him in a bit. But on the whole, I'm okay with it because I had a green arrow in the point, in the team, if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
so I'd have done the right captains.
No, I don't know what you mean.
No, what you mean is I'm not talking about players I don't have. It's like, oh, if only I had so-and-so.
Oh, I see.
If I'd have played Cody instead of Livramento, if I'd have captained Salah, bingo, green arrow. As if I didn't. So I don't mind it when I've actually got the players in the mix. It's not, I don't have to commit surgery to find these players. They're there.
I'll have to use that one next time I get a red arrow. Well, I got a red arrow, but I got a green arrow within the team.
I've got an innie green arrow in my head, but it's an outwards red arrow. But it's like that old Eric Morecambe thing, isn't it? I am playing all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. I have got the right players, not necessarily in the right order. So that's the way I look at that. But hey, I mean, it's a rough week for me, a smooth week for you, but there's more roughs than the smooths. So fire away.
Yeah, so I have been on the Fantasy Football Scout website and had a look at the hot topic to see people's roughs with the smooths. We've also got some which Joe has cherry-picked himself as well, which we want to talk about too. This man's come up 2 weeks in a row now, Toby Lerone. He says his rough was he took Rafinha out for Sarr instead of taking Torres out for Sarr, and he only got 2 points off the bench for that. But his smooth was Sarr got one more point than Rafinha, and he got the Semedo clean sheet, so it's not too bad. Ted McNeur says his smooth was he's 11k now, so nosebleed territory. He had a tiny green arrow after Veltman assist. Transfer was ailing to Livramento, which is still solid going forward. His rough was Ronaldo captain and a sure fail, both on death row for me. Yeah, we're going to be talking about those later. Niels van Delf.
That,
so I do apologise. His smooth was he transferred in Sarr and Gallagher, and he also got a Cancelo haul, so he's gone from 160k to 70k.
Yeah.
Lovely surfs. But he did bench Sarr for Foster, which I think a few people might have brought Foster in this week.
Yeah.
And then the last one for me, Triple M Sausages. His smooth was he brought in Saka, Dean and Sat on game week 4 wildcard.
Wow.
And his two transfers this week were Sarr and Antonio in for Greenwood and Bamford. So he's gone from 390k to 140k. So well done.
Good moves. Very solid. I can mention a few as well. Karen, Scoutcast presenter of old and hopefully the future as well. Karen, he picked Vardy. And he picked Vardy because he said, if I get 300 likes for this tweet saying I might pick Vardy, I'll pick Vardy. And he did. I think he got about 500. And so Vardy came in and he didn't captain him, but hey presto, 11 points. Could have been 22
if
he captained him. But so well done there. Also, Townsend. Now, last week, was a big success for both of us. You in terms of a green arrow, me in terms of a red arrow. But what we did is we picked Townsend and Decore as our differentials. And both of them scored. And so a lot of people were thinking grey. We thought Townsend, a chance of penalties, and that turned out to be correct, thankfully. Yes, so Karen picked Vardy. Well done there. Also, I want to mention Townsend and Decore. James on Twitter put this picture up of Townsend, captain. I could not believe it. After we were bigging up Townsend over the weekend, and it came in for him. So he captained Townsend. Well done. And just a final mention, Mish. Yeah. He went double cheap Arsenal midfield. So not only did he have Saka, he also had Smith Rowe. I refer to him as a maniac because I think, who? I haven't seen any team. I've seen Saka. I've seen Smith Rowe. I haven't seen anyone with an Arsenal cheap midfield double up. And
fair play.
Well done for Mish there. He got 15 points just from those two mega cheap players. So yeah, well done there. And also a final mention to Milanista, FPL Milanista, who is leading the Fantasy Football Scout Family Mini League. He's been leading it all season, but he's now 64th overall. So he can sing when he's 64, and he is this week.
Lovely.
So Andy, I've finished wittering on a little bit, but annoyingly in the notes, I've got to witter on a bit more. Have you got anything to add while I catch my breath back?
No, sorry. I do apologise. My Yeovil internet is well known, unfortunately.
Oh, is it?
Lovely stuff that was. We had some genuine rough with the Spoobs last week. It was one of those weeks where a lot of people had a rough week. So if you could get a good week, there was some big gains to be made. And luckily, I was one of them.
Definitely. So we'll move on to the first topic. As I said, annoyingly, it's down for me in the notes. So I'll just sort of introduce this and I'll get Andy to talk a bit. I'll get my breath back a bit more. It's unfashionable picks. At least one, maybe two people have asked for this. And so we're tailoring this for sort of wildcarders and non-wildcarders alike. So and I've gone through the stats and I picked out those that are either good differentials, no one owns, or some people are thinking about them, not quite, or people are going... I think the reaction I want is, Joe, what are you doing? Why have you put that guy on the list? But we did that last season, and it turns out loads of them kept scoring. So anyway, here's a picture. See if anyone can guess who's on this list from this picture here. This is me encased in a tree at a Doctor Who exhibition. So that's fairly unfashionable. A guy in my 40s. So that's me there. So also I picked it because it frames quite nicely with this unfashionable table. And as we can see, that's me looking at it a bit oddly. And Chris Wood is on there once again. So the way I've done this here, just to so people can see my face encased in Chris Wood, I'll let people know what we've done here. We've sorted it by big chances total, but we do have some other stats that we can read out as well for this. In terms of big chances total, Vardy is the top. People are, apart from Karen, no one wants him. But very quietly, very sneakily, he's scoring all the time. He's got great fixtures. No one wants him though. What happened last week? I have a couple of people in my mini leagues, Captain Vardy, because they don't watch any content or listen to anyone on Twitter. They just thought, oh, Vardy scores a lot. I'll get him in, captain him.
Scored a hat trick, didn't he?
Yeah. So
own goal, two goals.
10.4, tricky to get him.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there still. I genuinely wouldn't go there.
We don't want points, do we?
No, yeah.
Unfashionable.
It's because we've got Ronaldo and Lukaku. Like, if you can get to Vardy, you're going to try and stretch to Lukaku, aren't you? And with Vardy, the problem is, like, Iheanacho's slowly starting to get back into this team again. And he is the long-term replacement for him, isn't he? So you just worry that Vardy starts seasons really well, doesn't he? He does start seasons well. And you just always wonder whether you're going to get him in and this is where he's going to start dropping off. And I can't see myself getting... I can't see me owning him all season unless he has a brilliant double game.
We're in the bubble. It's like politicians, the Westminster bubble. You see it on the news. They all talk about each other. It's us lot. No one, none of us are saying get Vardy in, apart from Karen and 300 people who told him to. on Twitter. And he's very wise.
And
he's
definitely had his best interests at heart, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also on this list, I put Mbuebo, which I can't pronounce on it, just because I can't pronounce him. But a lot of people want Tony. I think people are starting to look at Mbuebo. Mbomo, I think it is, actually. Because I think there was something on Talk Sport about how to pronounce his name. And I think he went on and said. So I'm going to say Mbobo. Mbomo. Anyway, Pukki is on this list as well. Three big chances created, 5.9. If you're looking for a cheap striker, enabler. Jesus. No one wants Jesus. How unfashionable is Jesus? 8.6, though. A bit like Vardy. You know, tricky price point. Three big chances is created. Then there's Chris Wood, same. Then Janout, German defensive midfielder at Brentford. No one wants him. 5 million. I don't. I looked him up. He's RB Leipzig. 4 goals for Brentford so far in a year or so there. He's 4 goals at under 17 level for Germany as well. Mm. So he's one of these defensive midfielders who's got the odd goal in him. Yeah. So he plays, he's got the odd goal in him. You're paying that 0.5 extra over a 4.5. But when Brentford's fixtures get better, you need an enabler. This guy could be the one. I'm really, really going for the pronunciation ones here. Elianusi.
Yeah, you are.
Elianusi. 5.5, Southampton. Two big chances. Looked impressive. I like the look of him a lot. And I think when Southampton's fixtures turn from 8, could be a great enabler. Hey, remember Watkins at Villa? No one wants him anymore because everyone's thinking no one wants him. I wanted Danny Ings and now Villa's fixtures have gone bad. Well, their fixtures get better and Villa have got better. And in fact, they're beating Manchester United. And Watkins has looked good. 7.3, two big chances created. No one wants Zaha. I don't as a Brighton fan, but I think I do want him. He's on penalties now for Palace. Mm. He's on the...
Interesting, actually. Yeah.
Milivojevic, who I can pronounce, was on the pitch as well. And he... usual penalty taker didn't take it. So Zaha, 6.9. People are thinking, why would I want Zaha when I can get Gallagher? Well, penalties, he is playing up front, further field up front. He is their talisman. Gallagher's been doing well, but Zaha could be worth that extra. And Neil Mopay, who the hell wants Neil Mopay? Unfashionable pick. But whoever's got him in is seeing the odd goal or two. Couple of big chances. 95th minute goal against Palace. This isn't recency bias. Every now and again, he will score goals and he's quite a nice little, nice price and he can be a little placeholder before you go, perhaps move to Tony, for example, in a few weeks' time. So out of this list, who do you reckon? Were you tempted by any of them or too unfashionable for you?
Oh, do you know what? The thing is with with most of the players on this list is I can think of somebody else that I'd rather own, either for that
That's
team.
That's why they're unfashionable.
Exactly. And don't get me wrong, I love the unfashionable picks because they're usually low in TSB, which is what's so good about them, you know. And actually, if these guys do well, you're gonna zoom up the overall rankings. I've already said my piece on Vardy. I do like Mbuemo, but if you had to give me an option between him and Tony, Tony's the one I would go for.
Because he's on penalties.
Because he's on pen he just looks so good as well.
Now Zaha or Gallagher? Which would you go
Gallagher
for? Same difference. Zaha's on penalties.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think the only difference for me between Zaha and Gallagher is just Gallagher's price because they're a team that I love Gallagher. And
so
I think
why not go for Mbuemo over Tony then?
Because Tony is a striker, whereas Mbuemo...
He gets less points than Zaha.
Yeah, he does, but...
I'm getting well Paxman on this.
it's fine. I think... I like Mbuemo. I'm not sure whether he is that finisher we're after, but he does look lively.
Yeah.
Whereas Tony's that guy where he just looks class every game he plays. Like, it doesn't matter who the opposition is either. I just feel like Tony could score against anybody or contribute against any team. I think Tony's just would give me that little bit of security if I picked him over Mbuemo personally. I do like Mbuemo though. And I think from game week 10 onwards, I think a lot of us will be having either Mbuemo or Tony in our teams. Jesus is the same. Like, actually, he's playing really well, but he is a striker on the game still, isn't he? If he was a mid, I think quite a few people would be looking at him.
8.6 midfielder.
Yeah, for a Man City midfielder. It looks like he's playing most games now. But again, I think out of all the Man City midfielders and strikers at the moment, it would be Grealish I'd probably go with because he's the one that seems most nailed.
Yeah.
Wood, I'm not going to talk about Wood with your Wood picture there staring at me.
I'm staring at him there.
Yeah. But I'm just seeing some of the chatter in the thing. Is it Halloween? Yeah. That's Niraj, that is, sorry. But yeah, as you look down the list, I've had Zaha before. And I don't know whether I am being a little bit... I'm looking at it because of Roy Hodgson's Crystal Palace. Hmm. I'm just looking at the fact where they're not scoring goals. But they do look different under Vieira.
Yeah, they're not that team anymore.
Yeah, and Gallagher is bringing a lot of energy to that team. Like, he runs like mad all game, doesn't he? It's mad. I was watching him last night. But I think in this table, the players that I would maybe go for... And Mbeumo, yeah, I can see the value in Mbeumo, personally. But the rest of them, I would struggle. Elianusi, I'd rather have Armstrong. I just look at him and think there's other players I'd rather have.
Watkins, though?
Because Ings is the main man now, isn't he? Mm. That's the thing. He is. Like, Watkins, I loved. He was in all my preseason drafts until they signed Ings. Mm. And I just think it's going to be great for Watkins. Watkins is a great player, but I don't think I'd be spending 7.3 million on him when for 0.6 more, 0.7 more, or whatever it is, I could be getting in. So,
well, let's bring some of the guys and gals in the live chat here. Steve Elbow says, "I want Watkins!" Exclamation mark. Kerem Trigg thinks that my picture looks more like the Lion King. I'd take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Baron Nishi says that Zaha was a massive trap last season. Well, yes, he was, because he played in one of the most defensive sides with quite an elderly man managing them for some time. And that's just the way they played. And he just wanted out. But now he's in a pretty good side. They're really entertaining and attacking to look at. So it is different. That's why I put Zaha on here. I think more people will start considering him soon. I think he's a really good pick there. Who else is in the chat here? So we've got well over a couple of hundred of you. I know we're competing with the Champions League tonight, so thank you for joining us. And even if you're joining us on split screens, only 24 likes though. Keep the likes coming though. If you like this, press the like button. If you don't like it, just press it anyway. It doesn't matter. Major League Shocker is talking about Wissa. A 5.9 mid, quite likes that pick. Pricey, Ward-Prowse. Ward-Prowse has been unfashionable since he was a child in the Premier League. Shit. And he's getting older and older and he's still unfashionable. But one day I'm going to get him in for my side. He'll probably retire by then. So quite a few comments along those lines. And this is the sort of comments I'd like from these types of players. Jesus in particular, I think, is very intriguing for City. You mentioned Grealish there, but 8.6. I think we're going to have some money soon when we look at the wild cards picks that we're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm personally looking at the likes of, say, Greenwood, and I'm thinking, well, I could probably do a million or two cheaper than that. And I think other people will be looking at those players. Those who are perhaps moving Ronaldo to Lukaku, that's another million. So there's no shortage of money floating around, I think.
No, not at all. No, I do agree. And actually, you're going to be looking at these kind of players. But like Joe's already said, these are the unfashionable players. And are they unfashionable for a reason?
Yeah. Hey,
could be.
Steve Elbows in the chat has mentioned Tielemans, someone we mentioned last week. Very unfashionable. But he's playing a slightly more attacking role. He's always quite good ticking over for points for assists and goals.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
See what I mean? Yeah. This is the reaction I want. The unfashionable player reaction.
You did say that.
Why would I want Tielemans? Exactly. That's why he's on the... Well, he's not actually on my list here. No. But he feel free to add him on. A great player. I've got some more picks here. I'll move the picture of my face. This is the goals imminent table. So this is the last four. No more than one goal. At least 10 goal attempts. And then some XG thrown in to filter it a bit more. Top of the list is Watkins. Villa's fixtures turn. He's 7.3. He is top of goals imminent. Jimenez and Jota were on it last week. Jota is still on it. He's still more to come from Jota. Yeah. 12 goal attempts. One goal. 10 inside the box. 4 on target. I'm surprised he's got that many on target, to be honest. But Raya did did say, well, Elianusi and Armstrong. So Southampton's fixtures change game week 8. This is one of the reasons I got Armstrong in. I like it. I would say I'd caveat this with I like the look of Southampton's attack. I like the look of Southampton's attack against other weaker teams.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
And I think Elianusi, Armstrong, Ward-Prowse, I think would be good investments, and Livramento. Bamford's there, obviously. He may be injured, but nevertheless, he's there. Bowen, someone else we mentioned, add him to the unfashionable picks list. Harvey Barnes, add him into the unfashionable. No, he's in the new category of unfashionable.
Yeah, is there a list lower than the unfashionable picks?
This is like the unfashionable list. Fernandes, Bruno Fernandes, Gundogan and Saka, your man. More to come from Saka. 10 goal attempts, 9 inside the box. Just 2 on target, but in the right place. But yeah. I mentioned Fernandes. Now, you're a Manchester United fan. And
yep.
Fernandes took the penalty and missed against Villa. Martinez was fantastic in putting him off. Kept pointing to Ronaldo, saying, move over, give it to Ronaldo. Yeah. But what do you think? Who do you think is going to be on? Who's going to take the next penalty?
It's an interesting one because they haven't really come out and said what's going to happen after Bruno missed. I would be absolutely shocked if that's it now, Bruno's off penalties.
Yeah.
I genuinely would, because he's carried us for 16 months. And for him to then miss a penalty finally in the last minute of the game to make us lose the game, like, I would be genuinely shocked. I wouldn't be that shocked if they started sharing them a bit more. Like, it could have just been that they chose Bruno to take that one and maybe Ronaldo can take some others. But I would genuinely be shocked. So yeah. I would not in any way think Ronaldo's 100% on pens now.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's up to Fernandes. If Fernandes wants to give it to Ronaldo, Ronaldo will take it. But if Fernandes wants to take it, he'll take it. And the body language I saw with Ronaldo there, not only was he not taking any of that business from Martinez, but I think, although he is a selfish striker, I think he is a team player. And it's already been decided Fernandes is staying on penalties prior to that, obviously, because he took it. Ronaldo wasn't arguing with him at all. It was like, it's yours. And I think it would upset, you know, the apple cart to do that. Yeah, and I think he's a Manchester United team player when it comes down to it. And there's no reason for Fernandes to be off penalties.
Yeah, thoughts on Saka, by the way, at the bottom there.
Yeah.
I know, so goal attempts 10. I think, does this include the Norwich game? Was that only three games? Because I think he had 6 of those against Norwich, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of a bit of a volume player recently, but I mean, I've been saying it, and I said it on Scoutcast 3-4 weeks ago when Arsenal had that horrific start, that I thought the uptick was coming and that they were going to start improving, and obviously they really have. They've started improving and they start looking quite good. So I think they're going to be the next bandwagons, getting those cheap midfielders in. I think anybody wildcarding, I would be shocked if I didn't see a cheap Arsenal midfielder in their team.
Yeah, definitely. 6.2 is a great price. And it's a really good price for choice. Because, I mean, both of us have Saar in our team. We both had Traore. You removed Traore for Saar? Is that right? No.
No. I removed Torres for
Torres.
Saar.
So
still got Traore. Nevertheless, still got that
oily, okay. Traore was an option. Isn't run away from him. Who do we run away to? Saar. Yeah. Or perhaps you can, if you've got a spare few, you know, 0.3, move to Rafinha. Or if you've got 0.2 or 0.1, move to Saka.
Yep.
Loads and loads of choice. Or perhaps move down to the likes of Gallagher, Elianusi, Mbeumo, who I pronounced wrong again. And you know, there's so much choice. You can't go wrong with any of them, I don't think. I think all of them will tick over nicely with points. But yeah, pretty nice segue into having a look at Alex's wildcard team. And I understand we've got quite a few community questions around that. Oh, just before we move on, actually, I just wanted to mention there were a couple of community questions around, just a couple of people wanted to mention around my unfashionable picks and goals imminent. And Chris Pierce asked, if wildcarding, who are the best 1 week transfers? So if you're wildcarding game week 8, who are the best 1 week transfers? So hopefully we've given you some thoughts there. There are a hell of a lot of players there that are considered unfashionable that have good fixtures. Chris Wood has Norwich next, by the way. And Jack Brokenshire said, "Hi Joe, hope I'm not too late, but in the Scoutcast, please can you look at sub 7 million strikers, as I'm looking at one to enable Rom and Ron. Thanks in advance." So hopefully we've given you lots of thoughts there, the likes of Armstrong, etc. And his Yeovil internet has struck again. So once again, I'm going to have to talk a little bit more. So I'm going to mention some community questions that are around Alex's wildcard. So what we're going to do is, before we show Alex's wildcard, what I'm going to do is read out these questions and hopefully we shall answer them. And hopefully Andy will come back and not be a frozen screen anymore. FPL Owl. Saka, Odegaard and Smith Rowe look like great options for those wildcarding. So there's two of me now for everyone. So yeah, could be a great option there. FPL Governor, are Arsenal the best bench players for those wildcarding? James asks, what are the pros and cons of wildcarding this game week versus next game week? And Amir, is double Chelsea defence really necessary? And Goonie, is it time to drop Trent for double City and Chelsea defenders? And C and G asks, is Christensen a viable and premium player? What is the optimal formation to go for on a wild card? Fuzzy Warbles asks, is Armstrong a strong option for those looking at a 4-3-3? And the Sociologist asks, is now the time to make a Ron to Rom switch? So this is Alex's wild card. So this is a team that myself, a bit with Andy, and also Seb, while he's on paternity leave, kindly put his views in here as well. Yeah, he's got Raya in goal. Now this is up for grabs, definitely. So if you are looking in the live chat and you've got some thoughts about goalkeepers, do let me know. You'll notice I've also got Ben White in here. So I think Ramsdale could be the best 4.5, but obviously I wouldn't be so keen on Ramsdale and White. So we've got Raya in goal, could be Ramsdale, 4.5. Alexander Arnold, who is, it looks like he's probably out this weekend. And Cancelo and Rudiger. So when Andy returns, I think it would be quite good to get his views about whether to go for a double Chelsea defence, a City defender, and Alexander Arnold even. So welcome back, Andy. I've just talked for about, don't worry about it, a couple of hours of my own. Don't worry about it.
I think the missus is streaming Bake Off. So it's,
oh, really? Is that what?
Yeah. Right. Not good.
No problem. No. So but basically what we've got is we've got Alex's team up. I've now read out the community questions around that. And I was just talking about goalkeeper and defenders at the moment. And so we're looking at a sort of a 3-5-2. And we talked about having Raya in goal, Alexander Arnold, Cancelo, Rudiger, and then on the bench, Livramento and White. So, yep. Out of all of that, what are your thoughts about that? So, got lots to unpack there. Chelsea defenders, City defenders, which Arsenal defender to get?
Yeah, no, I quite like the way you've gone. I think Rudiger and Cancelo, for me, would be completely nailed in a wild card. I would 100% be trying to get double Chelsea in, though. I do think trying to get double Chelsea in with their fixtures would make a lot of sense. I don't see any other midfielders I'd like, so I think I'd want double Chelsea defence and then maybe play that 4-4-2 instead. But if we're set on 3-5-2, then I think,
well, we're not,
yeah,
not
Rudiger,
set.
Cancelo, Trent.
Certainly fine. Not set at all. I mean, one of the things we have to look at is whether we want a 3-5-2, 4-4-2 sort of hybrid or a 4-3-3. 3-4-3 sort of hybrid. So basically, do we want the sort of non-playing 4.5 to be someone like Sissoko or Brownhill or Luiz at Villa, or do we want it to be someone I put in here, Street or Scarlett or someone? That's a decision.
Yeah, I think it's probably better to go with that midfielder because at least the midfielder's playing and then you can maybe go up to Tony in game week 10. I think that's probably the better option personally. And then, like you said, I like the fluidity of maybe having that four at the back there too. I think you can upgrade White. Livramento just looks so good for his price. So I think, yeah, that's probably quite a good move personally. It's whether we go, if you did go for a Chelsea defender, would you go for someone like Christensen instead? So then if you wanted to bench him, it's not the end of the world?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I mean, in my own team, I've gone for 3-4-3 in a sort of 4-3-3-4-4-2 sort of arrangement. And I do think there is value, especially with Christmas coming up, with COVID behind the scenes, to have at least a playing player. So I've got Street in here. I don't even know who he is. I only put him in because I live in a town called Street in Somerset. But it could be anyone. Yeah, I do agree with that. But I think at the back, so Alexander-Arnold, wildcarders this week are faced with an issue about Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, he's too expensive. Plus, he's injured at the moment, and it's highly probable he's out this weekend.
Yeah.
So do I 100% say keep Alexander-Arnold? But is that the way what would you say to a wildcarder who was thinking of getting rid of Alexander-Arnold?
No, I would be saying exactly the same as you. And to be honest, I would even be, as somebody that hasn't got a wild card, I would be happy knowing that people were getting rid of him on wild card because he's such a tough player to get to. If you're not going to, the only way I would do it is in not having him on my wild card is if I kept money back to be able to upgrade straight back to him when he comes back. Like, he's playing against Man City at home. Man City are most probably going to score against him anyway. So it's a good week to just put him on your bench, know that it doesn't matter putting him on your bench and play somebody else. And if you're on a wild card, you know you're going to have good options playing instead of him. So I think I would 100% be keeping him on wild card unless we have any kind of a hint that he's going to be out for longer than we think.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's probably only going to miss the City game anyway.
If I can't think of it. I think you can, if you're wild carding, then your team should be able to cope with Alexander-Arnold being on the bench. So last week, both of us have Antonio, don't we, in our teams?
Yeah.
And he was definitely out because he was suspended. And there was no hesitation, just bench him because we're going to want him back. And hey presto, he comes back and he scores. That's what he does. Alexander-Arnold, the rumours are, if he is out, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks. We're talking international break.
Yeah.
So that's it. He's only out for one game against City.
Yeah. Man City. Yeah.
So, okay, I'll take that. And then by the time game week 8 comes along, chances are it'll be fine. Maybe game week 9. So I think that's what I'll go with. Oh, Andy, you've frozen again. My God. Okay, so that's the way I think I would look at that. If you're on wild cards, just go with Alexander-Arnold. The other two issues around Man City and Chelsea. So what I've done in this team is I've sort of hedged my bets a bit. And I think all of us here, we think we're going to want a City defender, going to want a Chelsea defender. And I think Cancelo or Diaz, but I think Cancelo probably edges it for attacking threat. I think for Chelsea, I've just gone for Rudiger because he's safe. He's the safest one. If you are short of funds, Christensen is, you know, will miss the odd game, but he's basically there. If you like a bit of risk, Alonso is the one. If you've got a bit more money, Azpilicueta. But I think wildcarders will be faced with, if they want to go for a definite four at the back, Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo, Rudiger, and then possibly Alonso or Diaz. But I think it's perfectly valid to do that on a wildcard at the moment, is to go having four at the back. And I think that would be the way to go. Because in Livramento and with the likes of, say, Ben White, and also I would say hi Andy, back again.
Hi.
Nice of you to join me. And with Livramento, the like, I'm just talking about the value there is for Livramento and Ben White, which makes having four good defenders perfectly acceptable, also three really good defenders. But I think in this arrangement we've gone for Cancelo and Rudiger and Alexander-Arnold. But do you think people would be looking, I mean, for start, do you think you definitely need a City defender and you definitely need a Chelsea defender, but which of those two would you double up on if you were to double up at all?
Well, to be fair, it'd probably be Chelsea just because you've got that lovely cheap Chelsea defender if you want them. So Christensen is there. But when you look at it, I think Rudiger's probably the most nailed across most of them. You've got Rudiger and Diaz who they're going to get the minutes. I know there's this rumour about Rudiger going in January, but I wouldn't let that affect you at all. And then you've got the two, you've got Cancelo and Alonso who are just the real high upside plays. But then you've got Christensen for Chelsea who is that cheap one. So I think I'm most probably going to be going one City defender and two Chelsea defenders. That's probably the way I'm going to go. But I don't, to be honest, I mean, there's a friend of mine that is doing really well at the moment that started with Cancelo and Diaz, and he's been loving life. So there's definitely, you know, there's definitely ways you can go both of them. I think as long as you have three or, well, at least two, and you've got one of each, I think you're fine. But I think if you wanted to really go for it, you can definitely go for two Chelsea and one City, or two City and one Chelsea.
So for those not wildcarding, perhaps using their transfers, and I'm not in it, well, I am talking about myself. So no. I've already wildcarded. I've got enough money in the bank to upgrade Williams to whoever the hell I want. And at the moment, I'm thinking long-term, even though he's got Liverpool, Cancelo, I think is the one I want. But I've already got a Chelsea defender. But if I was just playing this week, it'd be so tempting to double up, wouldn't it? Just to double up on that Chelsea defence. So I think it is a tricky time to wildcard.
I think it is. I think there's a lot of merit to doing it next week. I think it's just whether you've got any Chelsea in your team already, because that Southampton fixture for me, although Southampton have been good so far, I think Chelsea are going to have way too much from at home anyway. Cancelo, if you have a look, I don't know whether, I know I was talking to you about this a little bit beforehand. Cancelo is so high up on all the stats this year.
That's a good segue. So let's bring in this table here. Attacking defenders, last four.
Yeah.
So we can see where he is on that, and we can see how good Alexander-Arnold is. So what we can see with this table here is some of the reasons why they're so good. So I've filtered it by expected goal involvement, and you can see a common theme there for the top three, which is Alexander-Arnold, Matt Ritchie, who should be in my unfashionable picks. Because who wants him? And Alonso. And it's the corners. Alexander-Arnold, 21 corners. Ritchie, 16. Alonso, 15. Chances created, Alexander-Arnold, league of his own, 11 there. Couple of shots inside the box, couple of shots on target. Alonso, 5 chances created, 5 shots inside the box, but just 1 on target. Matt Ritchie created 8 chances there. But you see Cancelo, no slouch, and he's got that broad mix as well. So he's had a shot, chances created 3, and 4 clean sheets. So he's more looking at the assist potential and the clean sheets rather than the actual scoring. But his expected goal involvement is expected to have been involved in one, at least a goal, over the last four. Port is there, and Diaz, they're there, and the Wolves lads, and Jansen at Brentford, 4.6, could be a nice option for those looking at a 4.5 or so defender. But yeah, exactly what you were saying. Cancelo, it's the City and Chelsea, and Alonso is offering that sort of mixture of clean sheets and attacking returns. But there's no other Chelsea defenders featuring highly. Rudiger, and as we saw last week, it's like, was it every goal involvement every 1,500 minutes or something?
Yeah.
And Azpilicueta, you might get the odd assist. But in terms of attacking defenders, it's probably Alonso, Cancelo and Alexander-Arnold.
Probably. Yeah, I think it is. And I mean, Alonso is probably so high up because they play that back five, don't they? So, you know, the other three kind of stay back. Rudiger, Christensen and Thiago Silva, yes, they get forward for corners and things, but and Reece James has obviously been in and out because of injuries and suspension. So Alonso is that main one, but it is worth saying, like, Alonso's playing every game. I don't see him being dropped.
No.
And it's just, he is like a striker in games. He really is. He offers more upside than Cancelo. I do genuinely believe that.
Yeah.
But Cancelo plays for, you know, City, who just don't concede shots. No. They just don't let teams have shots against them. So, like I said, I think owning three of them moving forward is a completely viable strategy.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go back to Alex's team. So that's the defence, really, that we're looking at. Livramento, and White. Just final thing on the goalkeeper as well. Ramsdale or White? So it's not Ramsdale or Raya. It's Ramsdale or White, I think. Because if you're going White, you can have any other goalkeeper you want. And obviously, if you go Ramsdale, you probably won't want Ben White as well. So which one would you go for?
Oh, I'd go Ramsdale. Okay. 100%. Okay. Yeah, White's cheaper, isn't he? Is White still 4.3?
4.4.
No, I'd still go Ramsdale because I think there's more players in defence that I'd want to potentially get to. Whereas in goal, I'd want to stick Ramsdale in, just not have to think about things again, I don't think.
And this is my big regret, my wild card. It was in fact not being able to get Ben Foster because he was injured then.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how serious that was. And it turns out it wasn't at all. And he's now starting 4.0. And I love Ben Foster. So that's really annoying for me. but to get him in on your wild card. Let's move into midfield and attack. So let's say we're going to go for a four-man midfield. So Salah, we're going to have him.
Yeah, 100%.
Then it gets a bit tricky. I think Sarr, would we say?
I don't know, see. I love Sarr, and obviously I got him in this week, but he's coming up to the third game in his lovely three-game run. And I think on a wild card, I might swerve him.
Okay. So Saka would be the alternative there.
Yeah, Saka or Smith Rowe or Odegaard. I think I'd probably go with Smith Rowe personally.
Okay. Rafinha. Now it looks like he's being managed. He's just he's doing it until he's on the pitch until he says I can't do it anymore, and it's about 60 minutes.
Yeah. Thing is, Rafinha though, he can do damage in 60, 70 minutes as well. So I think I'd probably have Rafinha. Okay.
Okay, so that would leave a 4.5 midfielder, and I've left the other spot here because I was talking last week about how I really liked that price point around the sort of 7.5, because it enables you to go for someone like Jack Grealish, and I think he could be a nice steady way into the City attack because he plays mainly on the left, sometimes on the right, but he's in that front three. And he's a good price because he's Villa price, isn't he? He's not City price. He's Villa price.
Yeah, he is. And do you know what? I'm looking at this team and I'm just seeing those two City players in there and the two Liverpool players in there and just wondering whether this might not be the week to wildcard because you're going to want those City players in next week. And I'm just looking at it thinking you're already capping yourself this week, if that makes sense.
Well, the reason I'm wildcarded it, because Alex...
Oh, and I know we are, by the way. Yeah,
but another people might be going through the same mentality. It's just like they've reached a point with their team where they're just playing catch up too much. There's too many hits to have to take. I mean, I took a hit last week and it caught me up a little bit and it means I can look ahead a bit. But I've only just wildcarded, so I should be. But other people haven't. There comes a point where you've got to move on and... I think Alex's team have reached that point for us.
Yeah. To be fair, I was saying it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you said 2 weeks ago. We were me and Seven resisting, but finally I've looked at it and thought, oh, God, yeah, you're right. Grealish is like booked in for the future, really. So up front, Antonio, we think definite. Not going to get rid of him.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were all a bit worried about Europe and things like that, weren't we? But I just think he's going to be managed well, and they're still such a good team. And they were actually quite poor against Leeds at points, but he got the goal, didn't he? So I think Antonio's a nailed in there, really.
And Lukaku instead of Ronaldo, you would imagine.
Yes. Well, I was talking to you beforehand saying that my likely move this week is going to be Ronaldo to Lukaku. And you look at everybody wildcarding this week and they're all going Lukaku over Ronaldo or they're going for both. Nobody's going for just Ronaldo. So I 100% Lukaku. He's the standout captain choice for me this week. So yeah, I would have Lukaku over Ronaldo at the moment.
Okay. And I also think we'll come to looking at the next four fixtures, but this is the beginning of Chelsea's great run. And it beautifully dovetails with Manchester United's poor run. Except, I would say, for this week and possibly next week. So I say it perfectly dovetails. It doesn't perfectly at all. It almost perfectly dovetails. But there is a bad run coming up for Manchester United. And it's game week 9 when I'm looking at Lukaku because it's Norwich. And I still like Ronaldo for this week against Everton because Everton have their defence. People look at the stats and go, ooh, they look great. But they haven't played anyone good yet. They haven't played any of the top six, I don't think. Whereas Southampton have played loads of the big boys. They kept Antonio out. They kept City at bay. And I know, but it's Lukaku. But it's Antonio. But it's Manchester City. So,
but just as an aside to that, though, you think if I'm doing Ronaldo to Lukaku this week, Lukaku, then I'm getting that mil difference, aren't I?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're waiting until game week 9, I cannot see Ronaldo going up anymore. I can't see it. He's already 12.7. He's just blanked as well. Whereas Lukaku, I can only see going up because people are going to be getting him in ready for game week 9. Are you not a little bit worried that you're going to be losing out on that potential, what, 0.2, 0.3 million?
How much is Ronaldo?
12.7.
How much is Lukaku?
11.7.
Is Lukaku going to go up a million in 2 weeks?
No, not a million. I just meant like 0.2, 0.3.
I don't mind that.
Because obviously you're not going to be able to sell Ronaldo for price, are you? You're going to have to sell him for 12.6, whatever it is. Whereas Lukaku goes up 0.1 and you're having to buy him for that 0.1 each time.
Yeah, but if it was the other way around, yeah, I'd be a bit worried. Because if one guy was a million more than the other, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But this guy's millions less. So I can wait. Ronaldo owners can wait if they want. Because there is that price difference. You can always afford Lukaku if you've got Ronaldo. Always.
We knew we were going to have this discussion at some point, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
It's like, because basically, and for anybody listening that doesn't know, so I'm pretty much certain I'm going to do Ronaldo to Lukaku this week. Mm-hmm. Joe's keeping Ronaldo for an extra couple of weeks. And we're kind of trying to decide between us who do we think's got it the right way round. Because I'm looking at it and just thinking, yes, he just blanked, but I have said that I thought Lukaku was the better asset this year out of the two of them. And I'm just looking and thinking, that Southampton fixture, he's going to be my captain. Do I fancy Ronaldo against Everton? Yeah, he's probably going to do okay, but I just think Lukaku's going to run wild against Southampton. I really do. And I'm just looking at it and thinking, if I can make that move now and then get some of the price rises with Lukaku, he's ready for game week 9. And then also it frees up that million to reinvest somewhere else as well. For me, it makes a lot of sense. Maybe it's team dependent, but I just feel like that is probably the right move. But you've obviously gone the other way, aren't you?
It's not even like stats or eye test based. It's psychological. So for me, to remove Ronaldo when he faces an Everton side that Manchester United have pummeled in a friendly, admittedly, already, and have yet to face a really good attack. Versus if I make that move, so I remove that good player for another good player, then I think if that goes wrong, I've got myself to blame. I overmanaged there. But what if it goes right, Joe? Then I can pat myself on the back and say, what a great move. But if I don't make that move, this is why it's psychological.
Yeah.
Depending on what manager. Now, if I don't make that move and Lukaku does really well and Ronaldo doesn't and blanks, it's a player I don't own. I can't kick myself for like, oh, if I'm, it's like, when we do the rough with the smooth, some people say, oh, I got so-and-so instead of so-and-so. I got this bad player in, but I'm just going to mention this good player in and pretend that somehow they're in my team. And, it's Lukaku obviously is in my thoughts, but if Lukaku scores, I'm not going to go, oh no, why didn't I make that move? I think on paper, Ronaldo, 2 more weeks, Leicester defence not looking good, Everton defence yet to be tested. Let's see. Game week 9. Yeah, Lukaku's against Norwich. I'm not going to triple captain. But if someone wanted to triple captain a player, Lukaku against Norwich has got to be it in a single game week.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's such a good argument, both sides. I just think it's such a good one to talk about. And I'm just...
Yeah.
I'm looking now, and I always said Ronaldo had the better fixtures. Lukaku had awful fixtures for a bit. Now they're both on an even keel.
Yeah.
I've got to back myself saying that I trusted Lukaku more. So I think that's why I'm going to do it.
Yeah. No, I think, as I said, it depends on the type of manager you are, the sort of psychology behind it. So I psychologically prefer not to make a move because I can't kick myself for something I haven't done.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I can kick myself for something I have done. And in the past, I've done that a lot, and I have never regretted not doing that, but I have regretted doing a move. So I'm just, if in doubt, do now. Ronaldo's a good pick, good captain. So's Lukaku. But I think if you're wildcarding, you're wildcarding for the future. You've got to future-proof your team for the next few game weeks. And right up until, I think it's game week, so the next two Ronaldo will do. but and Lukaku would do. But game week 9 to 12, or I can't remember when it is, but for a good 4 or 5 weeks, Lukaku is the best option for the captaincy.
Yes, he is.
Way better than Ronaldo.
I think it's game week 14, 15, yeah. Is it? Where Ronaldo's get yeah. ridiculously good for quite a long time, don't they?
So the Lukaku back to Ronaldo, that's another decision. That's a wild way. But
yeah.
at the moment, I think non-wild carders can afford to make that decision. Do you want to do that yeah. or not do that? Get Lukaku. But I think wild carders, this is why one of the first moves I did was get Lukaku in, definitely over Ronaldo. And I think yeah. I think if you're wildcarding now, Lukaku. So also in attack, if we are going for three up front, you've got Antonio, Lukaku, we've got a good mix of elsewhere. Who do we have as the third striker? So who is your, I mean, we've mentioned quite a few of them, but yeah. who would you go for the sort of enabler as a third striker?
Well, I think you need to have somebody that's at the same price point roughly as Tony, because I think you're going to want to get Tony in by game week 10.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not actually too bothered who that player is, as long as there's somebody maybe with a bit of upside, but as long as you can get to Tony in game week 10, that would be my main priority. So someone like Armstrong, someone like St. Maximan, someone like that, where I just think, yeah, they've got a bit of upside, got a bit of fun to watch, you know, take a lot of shots, and then you can just move them out without having to think about them too much in game week 10, knowing you're going to get Tony.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I got Armstrong in, because I've sort of got Tony in mind, but I thought Southampton's fixtures, game week 8, really nice for a few fixtures. And if I'm wrong, I can run away with it with him, or even run away from him towards Tony, run away with Tony.
Yeah.
Nor Armstrong. So I can do that. Let's have a look at expected goal involvement last four. Because this will show... Now, people will look at this. So this is last four game weeks, expected goal involvement. And I guess the first thing people, eagle-eyed people will see is there's no Lukaku. Where is he? Mm-hmm. Well, Lukaku is... his expected goal involvement is 1.70. But he has had tough fixtures in those last four, but he's still below Chris Wood. I've noticed, put in my notes. number three is Cristiano Ronaldo. And top of this, expected goal involvement, Salah, 4.7. Expected to be involved in nearly five goals. He's had seven big chances. Mane just behind him. And then Ronaldo. Then Vardy, the unfashionable pick everyone's forgotten about. Gallagher, Zaha. So it's both those Crystal Palace guys are there. Diogo Jota, as we know, owners. How... I mean, there was a great save by Raya, but yeah, other times he should have scored. Tony is there. Antonio. Yep. Fernandez still there. Sarr, Mbeumo, Jesus and Grealish, the City lads there. So they're all a bit ahead of Lukaku. But I just want to point out, I haven't constructed this deliberately to remove Lukaku or anything. The massive caveat is that Lukaku has had tough fixtures. So yeah. You wouldn't necessarily expect him to have as high an expected goal involvement as some of those players that have had much easier fixtures. He's about to have much easier fixtures. He's going to be involved. He's going to be, his XGI is going to be huge. And indeed, his goals and assists could be huge. So don't let anyone look at this and put people off. But looking at this as well, do you look at Ronaldo's there? He's expecting goal involvement just below Salah and Mane. You know, you're a bit nervous.
Yeah, it's because he does take the shots, doesn't he? Like, the team is kind of made around trying to get him the ball in the box at the moment. But I look at it and I genuinely look at Ronaldo and just think, yes, he's having it all. But, you know, he blanked in the last game. And I'm not doing it based on recent. So, you know, oh, he blanked in the last game, so he's not very good. It's just me trusting United. And like I said, I just trust Chelsea a little bit more. So, like you just said, Lukaku has had quite tricky fixtures the last two.
Yeah.
The last one, and then the one before that, they won 3-0 and he didn't get a goal or anything, did he? But it's interesting because actually he has been creating a little bit more. You know, his XA is better than his XG recently, which kind of makes sense because he's that fulcrum up top, isn't he? But I look at it and it doesn't actually worry me too much. Having watched all the United games, I don't worry too much. I do think Lukaku's going to start having an uptick, as I love saying this year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't worry me too much at all, to be honest.
I mean, I'm a Greenwood and Ronaldo owner, and yeah. I posted up some stats. This is a good it's a good example of the difference between stats and eye test. So I posted up some stats without seeing the game. I listened to bits on the radio on Saturday afternoon, and saying Greenwood had great stats. I mean, he's loads of chances created, loads of shots. And I thought, wow, I mean, I'm really unlucky to come away with nothing there. And then I saw Match of the Day, and then I got all the Manchester United fans answering me on Twitter. And then I realised why he hadn't scored, because you essentially had two really selfish strikers. And there's nothing wrong with being a selfish striker. But when you've got two, that's not good. They're not helping each other out at all. So when Greenwood should have passed to Ronaldo or anyone, he just didn't. When Ronaldo should have passed, he didn't. And it wasn't fun to watch. So Greenwood, I've got Greenwood and Jota, and I think Greenwood will go before Jota, even if Jota's lost his place, because I still would take 20 minutes of Jota coming on over Greenwood with bad fixtures, and he's not quite gelling with Ronaldo at the moment. But that could turn. Do you think that will turn around, or do you think Greenwood is someone I should just screw up and put in the bin?
I'm not sure whether the Greenwood is the perfect player to have next to. I feel like Sancho is a better player to have next to Ronaldo. Although Sancho hasn't started very well, at least he is a bit more of a creator. Whereas Greenwood is, he's that inside forward. You know, he's like Rashford. He's somebody that wants to cut into the box and shoot. Whereas Ronaldo doesn't really need that person next to him. He needs somebody that's always going to pass in the ball and always look to be getting to the byline and crossing it in. So, yeah, it's interesting. If I had Greenwood, I'd be getting rid. Because he's also going off quite early because Sancho's not starting games, so he's then coming on, Lingard's coming on. There's all these players that are in that position where I think, although Greenwood's starting at the moment, he's always coming off that 60-70 minute mark. So that does worry me personally with him.
A few people in the chat have just said, so United, he's simply called, was saying that Rashford is selfish on the left, Greenwood on the right. Well, that could be fun. For United, or Matt Stitt says that the two selfish strikers not working is a myth. Liverpool have two selfish strikers and they do fine. Well, they don't, because if you look at the way they play, they have three up top. They have a very unselfish striker in the middle who never scores, who's always supplying his teammates, and Salah coming in off the right, and Mane coming in off the left, and their wingers. They're the ones that and their wing backs rather. They're the ones that are benefiting. From that, so they've got one unselfish striker and two very selfish wingers, so there's a different setup there. And back in the day when Liverpool had two strikers, of course Sturridge and Suarez was one of my favourite ever FPL combinations. Were the epitome of unselfish. They were helping each other out. I mean, it was incredible, the goal and assist. Whoever scored, the other one will have assisted. And that's what I would love for something like Manchester United, but not to be. Shall we have a look at some next four fixtures? We've been talking about them a lot anyway. So we can see Chelsea at the top, Southampton, Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle next four, and it gets better after that. So we'll look at that in future game weeks. Leeds still up there, Watford, Southampton, Wolves, and Norwich. Coming up, and then Burnley. So this is what I was talking about, Chris Wood, and Norwich, Man City. That's the tricky one. They'll get hammered there. They always do. Southampton and then Brentford. So nice fixtures for Chris Wood. Southampton themselves have got Chelsea next. And then it gets really good. Leeds, Burnley and Watford. And then we can go down a bit and having a look at Brentford, who I'm trying to find. So, they've got West Ham and Chelsea next. This is why they're so low down. But then, game week 9, they've got Leicester, so middling. And then Burnley, game week 10, it gets better. So in future Scoutcasts, we'll see from game week 10 onwards, we'll see how much better Brentford's go. So then Armstrong owners like myself or those who are going to invest in Armstrong from game week 8, perhaps on a wild card, you've got game week 8 and 9 to have a look. Is he going to get you some points? If he's not, and you've got 0.5, which isn't a big stretch, 0.5 in the bank, you can easily move to Tony. And there you go. There's your Tony placeholder. But if Armstrong is delivering every week, well, I'm not going to get rid. So I can run away from him, I think. But Manchester United, their fixtures turn badly, especially game week 9, Liverpool and Tottenham. Although is Tottenham bad? So actually, that's all right. But yeah, most of them are bad around then. Brighton's fixtures get pretty bad, which is why I didn't go for Sanchez on my wild card. And I think other wild carders may want to avoid. They got Arsenal, they got Norwich, but then they got City, Liverpool. It's, they're going to concede. Liverpool's fixtures get bad, or mixed, sorry. Watford and Brighton, and then City and Manchester United. I think the Brighton fixture, not just as a fan, I think that will, that could be tight. It often has been in recent years. And then Brentford, Palace, still a bit mixed there. So people might not go for my Saha idea, but you know, he is there. Mixed fixtures. But yeah, and then, what you were talking about Watford, why you wouldn't go for Saha on a wild card now. Yes, they've got Leeds, but then they got Liverpool and Everton, so not as good. So yeah, looking at this, anything else springs to mind?
No, I mean, you look at that Chelsea up the top there, and I think that run's just lovely, isn't it? So especially for defence, I think, yes, if you don't fancy maybe getting Lukaku and staying with Ronaldo for a bit, but I think that if you don't have a defender yet, I think getting a defender in is going to be incredibly important in that run. Leeds is a really interesting one because of all their injuries, I just haven't prioritise them as much as I thought I would have done by now. So I thought I'd have Rafinha by now, but I just still look at it and think that run is beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm still not thinking, oh, I've got to get them in. Yeah. Like I'm prioritising Gallagher over Rafinha at the moment. So yeah. I think that's quite interesting. I think that tells you just how much they're struggling with injuries at the moment.
Yeah, it's Rafinha's injury. Yes, he can do something in 60 minutes, but as a non-owner, do I want to get a player in like Rafinha, who is definitely going to last 60 minutes and that's it?
Yeah.
Or at the moment, say I've got Jota, he could play 90, he could play 20. I don't know, but at least he's got all his legs working. So yeah, with Rafinha, I don't know. But yeah, it's annoying as a non-owner because he's doing damage to my rank each week, not owning him. Yeah. But he's still got that flag and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
No, I don't think it will. The other one that I thought was going to be quite interesting, you might find interesting as well, those Wolves fixtures are still very, very nice.
I know.
And I'm probably going to be keeping Traore for the next 2 weeks. So you look at it, it was gutting that he got benched this weekend. I'm hoping that he's going to be starting this week. But I'm looking at it and thinking he's probably not my biggest priority to take out. So Newcastle at home is quite a nice fixture.
Yeah.
Hopefully he starts. If he does, I'm hoping for maybe getting a return.
He was being readied to come on before Jimenez's goal. I was listening to it. It was on the touchline. And then when Jimenez scored, then he just shuffled back. Back you go. Yeah. And then they eventually did bring him on. I think it was about 20 minutes after they were originally going to bring him on. But yeah, Traore, yeah, even if he gets 20 minutes against Newcastle, he's not a priority to remove this week. If you can do it, but yeah, he's not a priority to remove.
No.
But differentials. So I'll go. Shall I go first? No, you go. No, shall I?
No, you go.
Yeah, okay. So it's bringing back again Chris Wood. No. It's that picture. So I'll put the next four back up. So I don't know why. It always makes me laugh, that picture, even though it's just my stupid face. But Chris Wood. I'm going for him because many reasons. He's 1.5% owned, massive differential. And I know what happens when you own him. You shoot up the rankings if he starts scoring. He's up against leaky Norwich and three out of four of the next fixtures. So apart from the City game, you've got Norwich, Southampton, Brentford. They're all, you know, very good for him to get attacking returns. He's had eight shots in the last four matches, three big chances and four chances created. One goal, but an XGI, expected goal involvement, of two. And he's only 6.8 million. And when you've had enough of him, you can move him to Tony. So he's quite handy. I personally didn't go for him last week. I went for Armstrong. And it was price for me because I knew I wanted to bulk up my defence, and for my personal team, it would not have given me enough money to downgrade Bamford in order to upgrade Williams, which is the player I want to upgrade. So I needed a bit more. But I think Chris Wood is a really good differential, and I think there's going to be, like with Decore and Townsend we recommended last week, I think there's going to be an immediate return. Because he's against an atrocious Norwich defence. That's me. Can I? I'm not saying you can get him in, but you approve or disapprove?
I approve because he's got Norwich this week.
Okay.
which Norwich at home, I mean, it's just prime fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So now, who is your differential? So yeah, success last week. So who's it this week?
Yeah, so my differential this week is somebody that I have been banging the drum about literally from pre-season, and that is Emil Smith-Rowe. Now, this is not because he finally did something this week, but obviously it does help. I have been banging the Arsenal drum for quite a while now, and I feel like it's going to keep on going, even against Brighton away from home. I love Smith-Rowe. He's under 5% owned. He is under 5.5 million. And for anybody wildcarding, I think he's going to be hard to ignore. I like him more than Odegaard because I feel like he's just got that bit about him in front of goal instead of Odegaard. Saka is somebody obviously I've got in my team, but he's obviously that little bit more expensive. So Smith Rowe is my differential going forward. He's got Brighton at Hove Albion away, and then he's got Crystal Palace at home, then Villa at home. Three fixtures that I think are lovely. So yeah, he's my differential going forward.
Okay, yeah, good. How much is he, by the way? I can't
remember whether he's 5.4 or 5.3. Okay. I know he dropped down to 5.3 at one point.
It's so definitely significant saving on Saka. So if you are looking for a cheap enabler, he's definitely fits that bill. Tony D in the chat. Hi, Tony. He asked, who is Burnley's right winger? And he's asked that because the right winger of the team that are playing Norwich's left wing have done really well every week. They've not only got great underlying stats, but they've delivered. Townsend was the last one. We said he would, and he did. It's Goodmanson. So yeah. Now I'm going to face an uphill battle to try and get people to get Goodmanson in. But Goodmanson, nevertheless, is probably going to be on the right wing for Burnley against Norwich's left. There we go. Unfashionable
Will McNeil ever play on the right, or is he always left?
I don't know if he always, but recently... It's been Goodmanson.
Yeah, been Goodmanson.
And so it's very likely. And Dyche doesn't really change his team too much. So, yeah. Goodmanson assist to Chris Wood, header. I'm going to say you didn't hear it here first because everyone's been talking about Norwich's left for a while. But it could happen. It definitely could happen. Let's move on to our teams for next week. So here's me. I meant to press you, but I pressed me by mistake. So we'll go with me then. So people are looking at Williams. They're going, oh, Joe, I know you're unfashionable picks, but the guy on Norwich's left, are you insane? No, he's not going to stay there. Williams is there because I've got 2.2 million in the bank. And I think he's going to be Cancelo or Diaz or Rudiger or Alonso or Azpilicueta. It's going to be one of the... It's going to be... I'm looking ahead to the future and I'm going to get one of those players in. And so that will get... And I'm playing Cody this time because he's getting Newcastle. So I've got Cody, whichever one of those defenders I just mentioned, not Williams, Christensen. Alexander-Arnold is probably out. So if he is out, by the time you listen to this, there might be... Or watch this, there may be more firm news on that. My first sub is Armstrong against Chelsea. I'm not expecting a lot, hence why he's first sub, but nevertheless, he is a striker. He is against Chelsea. You never know.
Yeah.
So he's my first sub there. I've got Jota, Salah, Greenwood and Saar. Saar is the one I'm most confident there. Salah, you never know. Jota and Greenwood, I'll take anything. Who knows with Greenwood? Maybe. Antonio and Ronaldo, captain. And Saar's my vice captain. And on my bench, I've got Sissoko, so I might need to go Sissoko deep, and Livramento. So I've got the defender versus Chelsea right at the foot there, but who knows? I may need him. So it's one of those weeks for me where I can shore it up a little bit by boosting the defence a bit. Going into this with a sort of, well, hopefully a 4-4-2, it'll probably end up being a 3-4-3. And then I can look to game week 8 when I'll be looking to upgrade. Well, then at game week 8 I'll either leave, or in game week and then in game week 9 I'm looking at Greenwood and Ronaldo out for Lukaku and Grealish. But I might, you know, who knows, I might go for, if Lukaku scores a hat trick, and Ronaldo doesn't do anything, then it's going to be tough against Leicester. You know, Ronaldo's be against Leicester game week 8. Lukaku's got Brentford.
There's going to be a bigger gap between our overall ranks next
week
there'll
if
be a
that huge
happens.
Gap, huge gap. So, so it'll be tempting there, but yeah. So basically, I think what do I put in my notes? Williams, Ronaldo, and Greenwood will go at some point. I don't know in what order over the next 3 game weeks. Lukaku, yeah. A City or Chelsea defender, and Grealish. I don't know what order. Sometime over the next 3 weeks. So that's the basic nub of it, really.
Yeah, fair enough. I think they're good moves.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I'm trying not to overmanage. It sounds like I'm managing quite. I'm overmanaging, but I'm trying not to overmanage on this one. I'm trying to sort of let it take care of itself. But yeah, Williams, weak link. Let's move him on. Let's bump him up. Let's have a look at your team. So who have you got? Who are you captaining? And what moves are you thinking of?
Yeah. So I've got 2 free transfers to you. So I saved a transfer last week, which turned out to be okay in the end, which was quite nice. I am most probably going to be doing Ronaldo to Lukaku and then captaining Lukaku. I've got Sar in goal still, which is absolutely fine. I think against Newcastle at home, you know, that's absolutely fine. I like that. My original move was going to be to take Shaw out and bring Christensen in. So it does feel a little bit much potentially taking both United assets out and bringing 2 Chelsea players in. Yeah. But United just don't keep clean sheets. You think they're going to every week and they just don't. So whereas Chelsea do. So I feel like that isn't too bad a move. It also, I'm freeing up a lot of money there. I've got 1.3 million in the bank already. If I take Shaw out for Christensen, that frees up an extra 0.5. I take Ronaldo out for Lukaku, that frees up an extra million. And then the week after, it's looking at doing Williams to Cancelo. So In that game week 8 where their fixtures turn City, I can get Cancelo in and I feel quite good about that. Mm.
So you've got two free transfers, by the way, for this.
Pardon?
You got 2 free transfers this week? Or...
I do, yeah. Yes. Ah. So that's where I'm looking at making those 2 moves. Mm. So I have always wanted to have 2 free transfers after my wild card. And I am looking at potentially doing that... Ronaldo to Lukaku, Shaw to Christensen, and then maybe benching Alexander-Arnold. The problem is, it's who I play. So if Alexander-Arnold is benched, I'm probably going to have to play somebody like Livramento against Chelsea, which is not ideal. Or do I play Williams against Burnley away and maybe hope for a clean sheet there? But it's probably not going to come. So I was looking at changing Shaw to Alonso, but it does then price me out of getting a City defender. So,
I'd
the
be
week
tempted.
After.
I mean, this is one of the reasons I took a hit last week. I looked at Bamford out and Traore not being good. And yeah. I just bet that Sarr and Armstrong would pay that hit back and leave me with the 2 players I want rather than 2 I didn't want.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you've got 2 free transfers... if this isn't mini wildcard time to take advantage. Because if you've got to play Livramento or Williams, you've effectively null and voided that player, I think.
Yeah.
So you've got, say Alexander-Arnold is out, you've got Rudiger, Shaw's going to become Christensen or someone viable and good.
Yeah.
And then you've got, and then you want to do the Ronaldo to Lukaku move. So that leaves you with having to play Livermore or Williams. But if you took a hit, because you've got money in the bank, you could maybe do... Can you afford that Cancelo move, even?
Yeah, I can afford it straight away, yeah.
So you could do... It could be worth the hit simply to do Williams to Cancelo, and then you can play Cancelo, who's definitely got a chance of more points than Williams.
Yeah.
And he could play back your 4 points, and then you've already... And if he pays back your 4 points, you've already got, you don't have to make that, you can make another move. And stay ahead
potentially.
Of
the yeah, it's something I'm looking at. I think the difference is with Trent out now. So it was always going to be Cancelo in the week after. But with Trent out now, it could potentially be that I get Cancelo in. Obviously, yeah, it depends which way I feel like that game's going to go. With Jota and Salah in my team, I feel like I'm capping myself a little bit. Like if Cancelo does well, Jota and Salah potentially don't. Yeah. But yeah, it's good. I'm usually against taking hits in a week where I'm kind of, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It depends. With Lukaku captain, I feel like that could be okay. So I feel like maybe it could be a high scoring game week anyway. But I'm not expecting this to be a massively scoring, a high scoring game week, and I don't usually like taking hits before one of those weeks.
So. No, I just suddenly thought because of the Alexander Arnold injury, there's a move you want to do down the line, and I sometimes think that like that even though I did badly this week, but that wasn't because of my hit, but the hit, if I hadn't have taken that hit, I'd have done even worse. And it was a move I wanted to do at some point, so. Just wanted to know, something to think about, and I think other people might be in the same boat, especially if they're looking at maybe having to field maybe just two defenders and they're already thinking about maybe another move like Ronaldo to Lukaku. It could be worthwhile, you know, making that move now, doing, you know, it's a classic mini wildcard, you know, using that advantage of two, because you can't often make those three moves together. There's only more possibilities, but yeah, interesting. It's only more interesting in my team. Mine's just, I've already got money in the bank, and William's going, someone's going to come in who's good. So that's it. So in conclusion, Ronaldo or Lukaku, that's what people are really thinking about. You're definitely heart set on Lukaku, and I'm Ronaldo.
I am. Do you know what? I've just thought, actually, I could just keep Shaw if Shaw is fit, and I could do Williams to Christensen and then do Shaw to Cancelo the week after, couldn't I?
Yeah,
so that might be a bit better.
Eyes on Shaw, could be at McDonald's or wherever, you know, now, and thinking about 6 months off, or he could be, you know, in an oxygen tent somewhere, furiously getting ready for your team and all our teams.
Hope so.
So, Andy, I'm exhausted now. I've talked way too long.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't mind. But I'm going to say it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Goodbye, all.